So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over.
Welcome to Sunny in Seattle with your host, Sunny Joy. And coming up on today's show, Sunny will be interviewing internationally renowned author, speaker, meditation teacher, and Hay House radio personality, David G. And the two of them will be discussing about his newest book, De-Stressifying. David G. will be actually telling us and showing us all about how to handle any type of stress that life throws at you. And now I welcome your host for the day, Sunny Joy.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, attorney turned life coach, Sunny Joy McMillan. And you guys know, every Friday, we're here from 9 to 10 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m., KKNW. And we're here to bring you amazing coaches, authors, healers who are on a mission to encourage you, to inspire you, and just to give you tools to live a life filled with joy, peace, freedom, and purpose. So it is radio that positively shines. We always have the show archives available to you. That's at 1150kknw.com. If you can't catch the whole show or you need a repeat of something you didn't get to write down, just go to the archives and you can find everything there. We're also on Facebook as Sunny in Seattle Radio, or you can just find me by my name, Sunny Joy McMillan, and connect with me there. And especially today, we've got, I always put links to our guests on the Sunny in Seattle Radio Facebook page, but today we're going to be putting even some additional resources on there that I think you guys will be interested in. So I actually have already posted a little bit there, so you guys can hop on over and check it out or go there after the show. And, of course, you can connect with me for coaching, find out more about my coaching practice by going to goldenoversoul.com, and that's my website, goldenoversoul.com. And I'm still doing coaching at East West Bookshop, and the schedule is filling up very quickly, so call ahead if you want to come see me, but I always like to have listeners come in and get some faces and put them with names and all that good stuff. So, Benny, how are you doing?
So stressed out.
Are you about what, the Seahawks? What are you stressed about?
There's a play on today's show there.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even catch it. Good Lord. I'm a little slow on the uptake. Sorry.
I'm totally good. But thank you. And, yes, I would be if I were a diehard Hawk fan, which I am. But I'm able to, you know, breathe a little easier. I know we can do it. So that might be one thing that we might be discussing today.
Yes, actually. And I have, on that note, I had lunch with him.
No idea.
God. That's true, too. My coffee hasn't kicked in, I guess. But I had lunch with a friend last week, and she said, "Do you always talk about the Seahawks on the show?" And I thought, well, that's an interesting question, because then it made me think I need to share a little bit about why I ask about that, because I know Benny's always in his Seahawks gear.
Well, your show's on Friday, and a lot of the games are on Sunday, and it's been the last 16 weeks of, you know, awesome Hawkness, so why not?
Yeah, I completely agree, but then I felt like, and it's very appropriate to our show today, so hang with me, but I needed to share a little bit about why I care so much about the Seahawks. And it's not what you might think, because, you know, I'm from Texas, which is the land of Friday night lights and football is life. I never really connected with it there, although I know we've got some great teams, so I don't mean to say anything negative. I'm just saying it wasn't my cup of tea when I was there. But I get to Seattle, and I start learning about Pete Carroll and our team. And again, I promise this comes back to our topic around de-stressifying and meditation today, so hang with me.
Yeah, be patient.
Yeah, okay. So he is not your typical NFL coach, and a lot of you out there may know that. I didn't know that, and this is why I love him. He's got this vision where he sees the best in players, and unlike my understanding of, you know, your traditional football coach, Pete uses positive reinforcement with the players. You know, there's no shame, there's no berating. And then what other coach, you know, can kind of see the potential in all these undrafted free agents that no one else saw the talent in? And he brings them together for this beautiful, cohesive group and just has made superstars out of some of these guys.
You're absolutely right. He has a unique vision on this, you know, on the game, the sport itself. You know, he's obviously coming in the rankings. What's really awesome about him, the whole positive reinforcement, you know, he lets his players and guys just have a good time in practice. He knows that they will produce on the field if he allows practice to be an enjoyment realm for them, like playing music during, I mean, a lot of other, like, we need to get down to business. And, you know, it's like, yeah, they're business in their heads. They know, but if they can just relax a little bit, be with their band of brothers,
yes,
I guarantee they'll come off with a win most of the time.
Yeah, and it's proven to be true. And you guys know that I love quotes, and so mm-hmm. I kind of feel like I have to state my case. The attorney is coming out of me. And I found these fun quotes, and one of them was from a research psychologist that's outside the NFL, and he came in and he watched the team back in May, and he said, "You can't figure out if you're in yoga class or a pro team's conference room," which I thought just epitomized it. And then even more important to me, and this is where it ties in today, Pete Carroll basically started a mindfulness revolution within the culture of the Seahawks. And he asked the question, which I thought was beautiful, and it really supports what Benny just said, that if we really took care of the guys, really cared about each and every individual, what would happen? And then you get these players, like the one they used in the article that I read was about Russell Okung. He was 6'5", he's an offensive tackle, you know, he's a tough dude. And he is quoted as saying, "Meditation is as important as lifting weights and being out here on the field for practice." And I thought, okay, there you go.
Like, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And if you have control of that and you can go to your little happy place,
yeah,
and I'm sure he does quite often,
yeah,
that's what's going to make him a better player and the better team. And it goes right down the line.
Yeah. And I'm sure our guest today, David G, can speak to why this is so effective. And, you know, so long story short, I love Pete Carroll. I love the Seahawks, and I'm not going to be shy about it. I absolutely have a crush on Pete Carroll. It's a running joke in our house. my partner is well aware of it. It's okay. So, Benny, maybe we'll do our best to get Pete in the studio sometime in 2016.
I'm down.
Get him to talk about.
I hope we go the distance. I hope we can. He'll be a busy guy next year.
I imagine. Yeah. But anyway, so just bleeding right into our topic for today, you guys are in for a treat, and I'm really excited to have as my special guest David G. You guys may already know him from his fun, amazing, enlightening show on Hay House Radio that I love called Live from the Sweet Spot. But if you don't already know him, I'll share a little bit about him. He is an internationally recognized stress management expert, a corporate trainer, a meditation teacher, and author of the critically acclaimed and Amazon number one bestseller book entitled De-Stressifying, The Real World Guide to Personal Empowerment, Lasting Fulfillment, and Peace of Mind, which we'll be discussing here today. You may also know him from his first book, Secrets of Meditation, and he's credited with creating the 21-day meditation process, which spawned hundreds of 21-day meditation experiences and challenges around the world, which I know I love the Deepak and Oprah meditation challenge that they do. I don't know if it's quarterly, but it's several times a year, and I imagine David G. was behind that one. So thank you, David G. He's often referred to as the velvet voice of stillness, which if you guys haven't heard him before, you're in for a treat, and I cannot get enough of his soothing, yet somehow this super sexy voice that he has. And so if you like what you hear, David G. has more than 500 guided meditations that are available on iTunes, Amazon.com, HayHouse.com, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, SoundCloud, and his website, DavidG.com. So how exactly did he become the velvet voice of stillness? And it was after 20 years in business, finance, mergers and acquisitions, you know, a high-stress life, that he began a new journey to wholeness, which he found through meditation. He apprenticed under Drs. Deepak Chopra and David Simon, serving as the Chopra Center COO, their lead educator, and then the first dean of Chopra Center University, training more than 200,000 people to meditate and certifying more than 1,000 meditation teachers. He has since left the Chopra Center, and for more than 12 years, he's traveled the world and helped thousands of people through teaching the practical integration of meditation, mindfulness, conscious choice-making, and ancient wisdom into our real-world, modern-day experiences. And I find this particularly interesting, that he has a passion for working with those in high-pressure situations like members of the military, special forces, law enforcement, business leaders, and those in crisis. He's the developer of the Blue Courage Awareness Training Curriculum, which empowers police throughout the United States and teaches them present-moment life tools in their quest for safety, nobility, resilience, and guardianship. His teachings on stress release conflict. They are helpful for mindfulness and are now practiced in some of the largest precincts and police academies in the country. You can listen to David G's show, as I mentioned, on Hay House Radio. The show is called Live from the Sweet Spot. It's a free global internet show with thousands of listeners around the world. And you can connect with David G and his meditation community. You can receive tools, tips, techniques, free weekly guided meditations, These are all through his website, davidg.com, and that's spelled D-A-V-I-D-G. Let me try again. D-A-V-I-D-J-I, davidg.com. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/flowoflove. He's also on Twitter. His handle is davidg_com. And his YouTube channel is David G. You can just type into the search box in YouTube, David G, and you'll find his channel as well as all of the videos, and they're great if you want to watch as he teaches you how to meditate. You can also purchase the book we're talking about today, which is De-Stressifying, The Real World Guide to Personal Empowerment, Lasting Fulfillment, and Peace of Mind. And that's at Amazon, or I got mine right here at East West Bookshop in Seattle. And for our listeners today on Sunny in Seattle, David G has generously offered a very special free download. It's his Attitude of Gratitude Guided Meditation. And there are a couple ways that you can access that. So I mentioned that the show's Facebook page is Sunny in Seattle Radio. You can go to my Facebook page. I have a direct link to that download, and all you'll do is click on the link. It'll take you to the purchase page. The coupon code is gratitude. All one word, gratitude, just one word, anyway. And the other way that you could access it is just by going to David G's website, which is davidg.com. Again, that's davidji.com. And go to the shop. It's under digital downloads. And again, just use the coupon code gratitude to get that for free. And we'll also be taking your calls today. You guys know if you listen to Hay House Radio, the queue is very long, and it's not always easy to get in and talk to some of these great hosts that they have. So this is your opportunity to talk to David G if you've been unable to get through with Hay House Radio. And that number for us today is 888-298-5569. 888-298-5569. So let's go ahead and welcome David G. Welcome to Sunny in Seattle.
It's so thrilling to be here. And what an introduction. It's like, I'm done. It's brilliant. thank you so much.
Yeah, I know.
No one's ever been so comprehensive in describing.
Well, I don't know. I like to be thorough when you're dealing with someone who's done as much as you have. And I want people to know, like, this is an honor. Like, we're bringing some great people to Seattle. So glad you're here.
Me too. It's great to be here.
My first and most pressing question is, Peaches, is she there with you, the Buddha Princess, today?
Peaches is here with me right now. Peaches, the Buddha Princess. She's an L.A. rescue, a mindful Morkie. And she teaches in every moment, resist nothing, and you will receive unconditional love. So right now, she's in total resisting nothing mode.
I bet she lives there a lot.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you for asking about it.
Of course, that's one of the highlights. I just love that you incorporate her so much into your work, into your show. And I know those of us out there that have animals just know how special they are and how they are our little masters in the house that we can take a lot of learning and knowledge from.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I wanted...
Yeah, I'm working on a book right now called Peaches Teaches.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. What's going to be involved
all the present moment... All the present moment techniques that she has taught me over the last 7 years.
Oh.
Every time I'm about to move into reactive mode and I look at her and I go, of course not. Let me surrender to the divine.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I will look forward to that, and hopefully we can get you back on. Maybe even Peaches can make an appearance here as well, and we can promote that book. Well, I did want to ask you, I have a friend, a dear girlfriend, and her name is Tara, but we call her Tara G. And so when I, first heard about you and I thought, I love that you're David G. Can you tell our listeners where the G came from and what that means to you?
Sure. When I began, working at the Chopra Center, which was in 2003, I just come back from India. So still, I guess, feeling the glow. And I was working there for about 6 months with Deepak and David Simon. And after about 6 months, they had an intervention with me. And they sat down and they said, listen, we can't call you David anymore because the co-founder of the Chopra Center is David Simon. And every time someone says David, he snaps his head around, but they're calling you.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to change your name to David G. And I said, look, like, what do you mean? The initial G, like 12-step David G? And they said, no, J-I, it's a term of reverence in Hindi. It means beloved.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that's so cool, because my mom named me David, because in the Bible that means beloved. So I'll be beloved, beloved.
Oh,
so,
that's beautiful.
That was 13 years ago, and now it's, you know, on my license and my passport and everything else. And at first it was with an uppercase, and then people were like, oh, you're the beloved. So I changed it to a lowercase, which people say, oh, that's so weird and affected and E.E. Cummings-like. So now it's David Chee.
Oh, I love it. It makes me smile every time I see it and every time I say it. So I'm glad that's what they gave you.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we take our first break? And when we come back, we're going to dive into this book. And, you know, how did David Chee go from finance and mergers and acquisition to the Chopra Center to writing this beautiful book that we'll be discussing today? You are listening to Sunny in Seattle, and we will be back after the break.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name. You think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking.
You know, East West Bookshop is one of Seattle's most loved independent bookstores, serving the community's mind, body, and spirit since 1989. Well, they've moved to a new location just above Whole Foods at 6407 12th Avenue Northeast in Seattle. And now they have even more space for spiritual-oriented products and a full monthly schedule of events and lectures with an emphasis on helping you to know yourself. Rediscover the new expanded East West Bookshop. For further information, go to eastwestbookshop.com.
Hi, I'm Avina. I'm 7 years old and I'm blind. I love gymnastics, piano, public speaking, and riding on the trail bike with my dad. You can help me live the life I want.
Help Ravina and other blind people by making a tax-deductible donation of your used car, truck, or almost anything with wheels to the National Federation of the Blind. Your donation will help ensure a brighter future for blind children and adults. Just call 855-659-9314. That's 855-659-9314. Or visit carshelpingtheblind.org. That's carshelpingtheblind.org. We will arrange to have the donated vehicle picked up and provide you with a tax deductible receipt. And if you know someone who is blind that can use our help, email nfb@nfb.org.
Blindness does not hold me back at all. Donate today.
Hi, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Michelle.
And we are Bright and Early Seattle.
We bring you the best people and businesses that help fulfill your soul's urge to make a positive difference in your life and in the world.
And we have a great time doing it.
Indeed.
So tune in at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday to join us in lifting humanity on Bright and Early Seattle.
You got the power.
What's your passion? Maybe you want to help people.
Or maybe you have a special passion for making our planet a better place.
Bring your special passion to our airwaves.
It's time your voice is heard. To learn just how affordable it is to join our family of broadcasters, log on to 1150kknw.com and click on the Be a Star tab.
A whole new world awaits you.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Don't, but you still hit my phone up. And baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't want to hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong.
And welcome back to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy, and we're here today talking with Hay House radio personality and author David G., talking about his new book, De-Stressifying. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about David G.'s background, and I wanted to continue that thread and ask you, David G., how did you go from 20 years in finance and mergers and acquisition to the Chopra Center, ultimately?
It's an interesting journey for me. I started meditating when I was in college. It was an experimental Asian studies class, and it was a Zen meditation. And we would all sit in a circle. Our Zen master stood in the corner, and we were instructed to raise our hands when we had a thought. And when we raised our hand, he would come over and thwack us on the back with a 18-inch bamboo stick known as a keisaku. So I only lasted in that school of meditation a couple of weeks because I found myself lying to my Zen master. So I didn't want to get hit. So I started trying all other different types of meditations, and mantra and tantra and chakra and mindfulness and vipassana and, you know, all these different techniques. And then I got more deeply involved in the corporate world. And then I realized I had traded in my morning meditation for an early morning train ride to the World Trade Center. And I had traded in my evening meditation for a double scotch. And like, boom, my meditation practice was gone. And over the years, I found that wasn't really finding fulfillment in my job. I was working hard. I was really, you know, killing myself, but I couldn't even figure out for what. And in the wake of 9/11, I was walking past a row of cardboard boxes that people were living in southern Manhattan. And this, I walked past this box, and a hand reached out, and it grabbed my leg, and this guy peered up at me and said, "What's going to be on your tombstone?" That's a fairly reflective moment. And so I wandered around asking that question, you know, what is my meaning? What is my purpose? What's my dharma? What am I doing here? And I came home that night, and my wife said, you know, there's this guy, Deepak Chopra. He's doing this meditation retreat in Oxford, England. You should check it out. So I quit my, I'm fairly obedient. I quit my job, headed off to England, and spent about a week with Deepak, really going deep. And because it was in the wake of 9/11, no one was really there. It was really a pretty intimate experience. And then I do what anyone does after they meet Deepak, head off to India. So then I traveled on my own little eat, pray, love thing, sort of without the eating and the love. And I was laying in a cashew forest in a hammock in Kerala after about 6 months of being in India, in southern India. And suddenly I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, this ancient Vedic text, and I read the line, "Yogastha Kuru Karmani," establish yourself in the present moment and then perform action. And I was like, yes, of course, that's it. I've been searching for the guru, and the guru's inside. So I was so thrilled. I came back home, and a friend of mine said, "All you do now is sit around and meditate." I said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" They said, "You should teach other people to meditate." And I was like, "I'm from New York. I don't care about anyone else's meditation." And so they said, "Well, if you really want to learn something, learn to teach it." So I said, okay. So I flew out to California to visit Deepak, and I said, "Hey, Deepak, I'm an expert in, you know, corporate growth and business development. Let me, give you that in an exchange. You sort of like, you know, just allow me to hang out and be the fly on the wall." And he said, "Well, how about you become the COO, the chief operating officer of the Chopra Center?" And I was like, done.
Oh,
and
a
love affair began. And after about 10 years, I figured, you know, my work here is done, and now let me really travel the world and teach people that I otherwise wouldn't have access to. So I get to teach in hospice and in hospitals. I get to teach military, working with the Seattle Police Department on de-stressifying. I've had the opportunity to work with special forces in all sorts of countries and police departments, and working in the corporate world, helping to translate these timeless teachings into, you know, real world application.
Yeah.
That's sort of like the nutshell.
Yeah, I love that story. And I love you. One of the points that you made in the book that I thought was so wonderful was what you just mentioned, translating these ancient texts and ancient wisdom into something that's approachable for even just the general public as well as law enforcement. And I love what you call going in to teach special forces meditation, which might be a little bit off-putting, you call it tactical breathing. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Tactical breathing. Everyone wants to tactically breathe.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to meditate. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
make it approachable for whatever group that you are teaching, which I love that. You've made it accessible to so many people. Yeah. Well,
thanks. You know, everything starts with awareness, our very, very, you know, first moment, that first flicker of awareness. And that's, you know, meditation is just a tool to connect you to that awareness, awareness of yourself, awareness of your surroundings, awareness of people around you. Mm-hmm. And if you can really become so aware of, like, what's going on inside, and I don't mean at a physiological level, but just at a heart level, and you can become so aware of what's going on outside of you as well. And the journey of spirituality is the journey we make, you know, from our heart to the universe, the heart of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so awareness is the catchphrase that I use when I'm working with law enforcement. It's awareness training.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm working with anyone in a corporate environment, mindfulness is becoming a little sexier now. It's becoming a little more, you know, Anderson Cooper talked about it on 60 Minutes, so it's now been blessed. but if you say, you know, I want to come in and teach meditation, people are like, it could be a little spooky and a little weird.
Yeah.
So, no, but if you come in and say, I'd like to share mindfulness with you, they go, oh, please, come in. We'd all like to be more mindful. so it's interesting how just the nuance of the languaging, and I found that no matter, you know, whether I'm talking to a crowd that's been chanting for 5 hours or whether that's a boardroom in a bank, they, you know, everyone's got their own access point. And that's why I wrote my first book, Secrets of Meditation, so that people could, like, try out or experience all the different types of meditation. And de-stressifying sort of was, like, my next step beyond that. There are certain, like, life practices, such as conscious communication, such as mastering your emotional intelligence, you know, identifying your needs, prioritizing them, and then moving towards meeting them, finding your purpose in life, finding your dharma, as well as that foundation of awareness. So it's been a glorious ride.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to be on it with you guys, because it's just being a part of your meditation community. It's very healing, folks. So davidg.com. Let's go ahead and dive in, and we'll talk about the book. And before I do that, I'll just give in the call-in number one more time. If anybody has questions about their meditation practice, if there's something you wanted to ask David G but weren't able to get in the queue at the Hay House radio line, call us. It's 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. So the title of the book, De-stressifying, what does that mean, David G?
Well, part of me was just, you know, it didn't exist, so I figured, I know, I'll just create this word and maybe it will exist.
It does now.
So I proposed that title to Hay House, and they were like, yeah, sure, we love it. What is it? and so, de-stressifying, if we define stress as how you respond when your needs are not met, any need that you have, so whether that's the need for attention, affection, appreciation, or acceptance, the need to be get something done, the need to have an expected response. Anytime one of our needs is not met, we respond in a certain way. And what we do with that, how we respond, becomes the fabric of our life. And so the concept of de-stressifying is a process that can be done on a daily basis or a long-term program. So you can use in-the-moment stress busters.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer the longer process, which is proactive. Just like if you only brushed your teeth when the dentist told you you had a cavity, you'd have no teeth.
Yeah.
So we brush so that when we go to the dentist goes, your teeth look great, your gums look great. And so it's the same thing with a lot of these practices. If we employ them on a daily basis, then our lives flow with greater grace, greater ease. Most people are crisis meditators, and this isn't just a book about meditation. I already wrote that book. But this is really a book about choices that we're making in our life that either lead us to constriction or lead us to nourishment. And when we can make more conscious choices that lead us to nourishment, our lives are just a lot easier. It's not an accident that Russell Wilson meditates.
Yeah.
You know, not an accident. It's not like, oh, isn't that interesting? And they won the Super Bowl. You know? and they've been in the playoffs. You know, they've been in the Super Bowl for the last few years. It's not an accident. And whether it's Pete Carroll or whether it's Phil Jackson, You know, there are some sports coaches and there are some amazing players who truly represent that that aha line that I read in the Bhagavad Gita, yogastha kuru karmani, establish yourself in the present moment, get still, get present, and then perform action. And, you know, watch Russell when he's you know, calling the snaps. You know, there's a moment that he's like totally frozen. You know, there's 80,000 people in the stands. People are freaking out. There's millions watching TV. They're freaking out. They're drinking. They're pumping their fists. And he is totally still, totally chill. And so he's emblematic of that. If you look at in soccer, you know, European football, when they're about to take a penalty kick, there's that moment where some kickers just run right up and kick it, and other people like stop. They take that moment. They introduce a pattern interrupt into their life. And they've done statistics now that those kickers who are kicking the penalty shot, those who stop and wait for at least a second, have a higher percentage of scoring.
Really?
So we know that you're going to be better coming from a non-reactive place. We know you're going to have a better conversation if it's coming from an unconditioned space as opposed to a conditioned one. You're going to respond to a crisis in a clearer mindset if you're coming from stillness, from the present moment. And that's what I'm sharing with people, how to get to the present moment, how to use it as a tool in your life.
Yeah, and I loved that it was a sentence that made me stop, and I thought, oh my gosh, it never even, I do have a meditation practice. I found it to be incredibly beneficial in my life, but what you said, that we have the power to determine the speed at which the world comes at us. And I thought, oh, yeah, we do. Oh my gosh. And this book beautifully tells you, how do you do that?
Yeah, there's something special about stepping into a crisis and suddenly the world's coming at you in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And you can go, I think I'll move in this direction. And then you reach out for it and go, no, I'll put that back. I think I'll move in this direction. And you can only do that if you are truly in control of your entire surroundings. So no matter what's happening in real time outside of you, we can allow it to come into us in slow motion or in freeze frame, and with much greater clarity.
Exactly. And, you know, we're talking about things coming at us, and then what you'd said earlier about stress being a reflection of unmet needs. And I'm curious to hear a little bit about what exactly does stress do when it's coming at us, when it's affecting us. And another point also, before I forget, that you made, that I thought all stress was bad. But in fact, you shared some information that in reality, there is some stress that in limited doses can actually be beneficial. Can you tell us a little bit about what do we need to know about stress, David G?
Yeah, well, you know, stress is this fascinating concept, and they're learning more and more about it. And when I originally sat down to write the book, it was going to be like, stress is bad. Here are some techniques to help you get beyond it. Mm-hmm. And then as I explored, I found some really amazing cutting-edge research. A lot of it done by Sean Acor, you know, the Harvard Divinity and Happiness researcher. Mm-hmm. But it's so vast what's really been done out there. It comes down to your interpretation of stress. Richard J. Davidson at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, mm-hmm. he did these really powerful, they took about 25,000 people, really powerful research, and they had them on a scale of 1 to 10 write down, do you think stress is good or bad for you? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is it's going to kill me. 0 is not really impacting me. And the other is, where do you see yourself in terms of stress? 10 is I'm in super high stress, and 0 is I'm totally chill. I have no stress. Mm-hmm. And so that was it. Got 25,000 people to do that. And then they just tracked death records for the next 15 years. Mm-hmm. And the people who died were the ones who said stress is harmful and I am high stress. Mm-hmm. They had like a 40% higher rate of mortality. And so it really, this was without any, you know, there's no other aspect to the study other than, what do you think about stress? Do you think you're in stress? And then let's watch when you die and when you live. And so the people who had the longest lives were those who said, I don't really have a lot of stress and I don't really think stress is harmful. So stress is in the eye of the beholder. That's number one. Number two, we now know that our interpretation of every moment, but certainly stress as it is, determines the fabric of our lives, determines whether we'll be happy, determines how we'll respond, determines whether we're pointing at a black cloud or a silver lining. And there's even been research that Michelle Gielen did that if the first thing you see on TV when you wake up is a negative news story, 12 hours later, when you're polled and said, so how was your day? You will say, my day was crappy. Mm. And if the first thing you see when you wake up is a positive news story, at the end of 12 hours, you're more likely, 25% more likely, to say, it was a pretty good day, having nothing to do with what actually went on.
That's incredible.
In the day. So we know that stress can actually like set the tone, set the trajectory, plant a seed in how we are interpreting the world. Yeah. And there's this positive stress called eustress. You know, when the Seahawks take the field, yes, there's going to be a lot of pressure, a lot of tension, a lot of excitement, a lot of screaming, and a lot of suddenly they're going to have to come inside to really, you know, I like to call meditation, you know, not a timeout, but a time in. So they need to like come deeply in, and in that moment realize that if stress, and this has now been scientifically proven, if it's short-lived, so it has a finite beginning and a finite end, and we see it as a challenge, not as a threat, then there's actually been something called PTG. We're all familiar with PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
Now there's something that they've diagnosed and research called PTG, post-traumatic growth, which means that if a stress is finite and we feel that it will nourish us and we view it as a challenge instead of a threat, at the end of it, we will have grown, it will expand us, it increases the neural network in our brains, and it nourishes our physiology as well as our emotional state. And it's one of those classic, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Right.
So that's why... at the end of the game, the team that wins is actually having, you know, hormones and chemicals surge into them to reinforce, yes, you took that challenge, you passed that challenge, you did that thing, great job. And then the losers don't have that same rush. That's why there's such an energetic difference between the winning and losing teams in a negotiation or in a game or even in a relationship.
Yes.
Because there's this sweet, beautiful reinforcement that it was a challenge, not a threat, and you overcame the challenge.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, now that we have some information about stress, why don't we take our final break? And when we come back from the break, we do have a caller on the line who has a question for David G. So hang in there, caller. We will be with you, in just a few moments. And then we'll also talk about, okay, now we know what stress is, when it can be good, when it can be bad. What do we do about it? And that's where David G's book, De-Stressifying, that we're talking about today, comes into play. So hang out for a break, and we'll see you in just a few. You're listening to Sunny in Seattle.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Russell, Russell, Russell.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60 because great things happen when we live united.
Donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm attorney-turned-life coach Sunny Joy, host of Sunny in Seattle. I invite you to join me every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. KKNW. Each week, I'll be bringing you amazing coaches, authors, and healers who are on a mission to encourage you, inspire you, and give you tools to live a life filled with joy, peace, freedom, and purpose. I look forward to connecting with you every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Sunny in Seattle, radio that positively shines.
With the cold, wet weather settling in and winter upon us, the thought of those experiencing homelessness, those sleeping outside at this time of year, is simply not acceptable. In East King County, there are over 850 men experiencing homelessness at any given time. Where do they go when the weather turns cold? There is somewhere to turn, where they can find a safe place to sleep, a warm meal, and the support to regain stability for their lives. Congregations for the Homeless, the full-service shelter program for men on the East Side, is there to help, providing the support and resources we all need to live. Shelter and nourishment, the most basic needs that most of us take for granted. If you are a man experiencing homelessness, or if you want to support the homeless over the winter months, please reach out at 206-579-6607 or online at cfhomeless.org. That's 206-579-6607 or cfhomeless.org. CFH, from homelessness to housing, one man at a time.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Only thing I see is
and welcome back to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy, and I'm here today with my special guest, David G., world-renowned meditation teacher, author, Hay House radio personality, and we're just so happy to have him here talking about his book, De-Stressifying. And before the break, we were talking about stress, the good, the bad, and we'll go ahead and take our caller now, and then we'll also turn to some resources around how to deal with stress. That's just a sampling of what you will find in this amazing book. So we have on the line from Reno, Nevada, Three Feathers. And Three Feathers, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes, we can. And you're on the line with David G., so what's your question for him?
Perfect. Thank you, David G. My question is, a few years ago, during meditation, my hands began to move on their own, and I would find myself coming out of meditation, my hands would be in a specific mudra. Mm. And I told my yoga teacher, and she said, let it happen. And since then, you know, and I feel that it is healing, and I feel it clearing, but I do still receive divine inspiration thoughts. But it seems like I need to just sit still and not move, but the innate feeler in the body just takes over, and then I get involved with that. And sometimes I do receive information, but other times it's just a healing, physical healing for myself or others. Mm-hmm.
Well, Three Feathers, thanks for calling. It's an important question, and I think it's somewhat common to a lot of people. It happens to me as well. I start my meditation usually with my palms on my kneecaps, just resting down. I like that grounding energy. I like to start every morning with my hands in that position. And I don't even know when it happens, but at some point during the meditation, my hands will turn palm up in a receiving mode. So I start in a very grounding hands down mode, connecting me to the earth. And then naturally my body opens up to where my hands are turned into to receiving. So what you're talking about, if your hands suddenly move into mudras, you know, mudras aren't forced positions. they're actually, energetic hand movements that either represent or enhance the flow of energy in our bodies. So if your hands are moving into mudras, cool. That means that, you know, that's a natural state for your body. That's a natural expression of who you are. Whatever that energy is, I would definitely either, you know, Google what's this mudra that I've moved into, what's that mudra that I've moved into, and see what that whole source, we get that vibrational energy coming into us, and then our body moves in response to that. And so your body is actually reflecting and expressing whatever that energy is that's coming in, your own personal expression of that. But what I would suggest to you is don't Google in the middle of your meditation practice and don't try to do anything with those mudras. Suddenly don't break into dance or yoga or Pilates or anything else. Drift back to whatever your technique is, whether that's mindfulness or the mantra, drift back to the object of your attention, stay in that space, because you want the full experience. And if the universe is talking to you through your body, the last thing you want to do is suddenly go, universe, could you put it on hold a second? I need to write some stuff down. yes, I know, God, I'd love to listen to you right now, but I've got my own personal expression that I'd like to do out here. So stay innocent, stay surrendered during your entire meditation practice. Allow the full force of the universe to really come into you and move you in whatever ways your body finds comfortable or cool to express. So I would say at the end of the meditation, when you suddenly open your eyes and you're like, wow, I just went through like a whole hand mudra sun salutation thing that I wasn't even thinking about, that's powerful and profound. And there'll be continued expansion and opening. So rock on. Sounds brilliant. Congratulations. Not everyone is as intuitive or sensitive to the universe coming into them. We know that some people are like so intuitive. We're so sensitive to energy. So just keep allowing the universe or God or whatever your connection is, allow that that divine energy to just keep moving through you and moving you to where you need to be.
Oh, that's a wonderful answer. And Three Feathers.
Perfect.
Yeah. Does that help you?
So much. It does. It does. It does. Well, yeah, I didn't know if I could sit on my hands or whatever, you know.
No, I like, David G. just says, rock on, so do it. So thank you so much for calling in, Three Feathers. We really appreciate it.
And by the way, David G., you did nail it on the head, because I will start with the mudras and then fall into dance or yoga or some sort of thing like that. And you hit the nail on the head, yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Three Feathers. Yes, well, we so appreciate that call. And I'm looking at our time. I want to make sure that everybody has the information to get in touch with you, David G., and then we'll return to talking about the book. So, of course, the book we're talking about today, David G.'s most recent, is De-Stressifying. You can connect with him via his website, which is davidg.com. And again, that's spelled davidji.com. Don't forget about the free download that David G. is offering to Sunny in Seattle listeners today. The best way to get there is you can go to the Sunny in Seattle Radio Facebook page, and I've got a link and instructions there. You can also go to David G.'s website, and it's just go to the shop, and there are digital downloads. It's the Attitude of Gratitude meditation, and the coupon code is one word, gratitude. And just so you guys, if you want to participate in any of David G.'s events, he's got some great ones coming up. Of course, he'll be participating in the I Can Do It conference, which is right here in Seattle, February 12th through 14th. He's also got three courses. Oh, yeah. Do you have any comments on that? It's going to be fun, huh, David G.?
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then other things that are just specific to David G. for his events. He's got a Set Your Course Life Change Immersion, and that's starting very soon, January 21st through 24th. He's got the Discovering Your Dharma event, which is March 24th through 27th, and the Awaken Your Inner Healer event, which is May 12th through 15th. So a lot of options there if you want to connect with him further. And, of course, he's got tons of guided meditations available through iTunes and SoundCloud and his website. So we've got, you know, less than 10 minutes left, and I have so many questions, but we talked about stress.
Don't stress,
Sunny. Oh, you and Benny both got me today on that, huh?
High five right there, David
right
G.
There.
High five.
Okay, so deep breath, everyone. Actually, on that note, one of the tools that I was hoping you would share with our listeners that I just love, and just so you guys get a little bit of an overview, you know, David G. offers in this book tools for addressing stress, but even on a broader, more 50,000-foot level, there are five elements that he goes over around mastering your communication, your purpose, your emotions, these five elements that will support you in how you actually process what's happening. So there are the specific tools to deal with the stress, and then there are tools to actually live a little bit different, a lot differently, actually. So, David G., I'll let you, whatever you want to take us through to talk about in our last few minutes around the tools, and then my favorite,
sure,
the 16 seconds to clarity, I love, if you want to share that with our listeners, just whatever
sure.
you think.
Why don't we use that, since that's something that everyone can access. Everyone can use in any moment. You can use it as the core, the seed of your meditation practice, or as a stress buster in any other moment. essentially, I teach this to people who are somewhat resistant to the word meditation.
Yeah.
And this is our first starting point, because it allows everyone who uses it suddenly sees, oh, it works.
Yeah.
So here's how it works. And I would ask, you know, Benny to play along as well. All of our listeners right now, let's just invite into your awareness something that's been disturbing you for the last week or two. Don't go too deep. This isn't therapy. But just something that's been bothering you or irritating you or frustrating you. Somebody said they were going to do something, they didn't. Someone said they weren't going to do something, they did. Something you didn't anticipate happening unfolded, or vice versa. You know, just an irritant, irritation, discomfort. And now get clear on that in your mind's eye. Really, like, see that. And if there's a person involved, maybe you can even see that person right now. See their face, see their eyes. And now close your eyes, and through your nose, take a long, slow, deep breath in, and watch that breath as it moves down into your belly, and then hold it when it gets there, and witness it, and watch it. And now observe your breath as it moves back up, release it, watch it move up your chest, your throat, out through your nostrils, and hold that breath when you get to the end of your exhale, and continue to witness it, to watch it, to observe it. And now breathe normally, and open your eyes. And so that was 16 seconds. And if you were playing along, some people opted not to because they were driving. Thank you for keeping your eyes open. But for those of you who opted to play along, that was 16 seconds. And in those 16 seconds, you were neither in the past or in the future. You were fully present. You were right here, right now. And because you were not in the past or the future, you were not thinking about that irritation or the irritant or the discomfort or whatever that was. And I didn't tell you to stop thinking about it. I just said close your eyes and breathe and pay attention to your breathing. And so we just transcended all the emotions that creep from the past or leap into the future by being fully present. And that was just 16 seconds.
Yeah.
So you can turn that into the foundation of your daily meditation practice. And when I'm teaching members of the Marines or Special Forces or cops, I say start with that, 16 seconds, just once a day. And next week, add a minute. And the week after that, add another minute. And suddenly, by the time they've been practicing this every single day, by the time they hit the half year, you've got cops, you've got Marines, you've got people you'd never expect meditating for 25 minutes a day,
connecting
to that stillness and silence that rests within. For those of you who already have a practice or don't want to use this as your practice, then I suggest do that at 10, 12, 2, 4, 6, you know, just a few times a day. Just stop and breathe. None of us breathe enough. We don't give ourselves an opportunity to just pull back the bow, to just be still and silent just for a couple of moments. That will make us better on the other side of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you can do that at 10, 12, 2, 4, 6, or you can do this when you're finding yourself in a crisis or in a stressful situation. So you're on a phone having a difficult conversation with somebody. That's when you do 16 seconds. They would never even know. You can do it sitting at a meeting around with your coworkers, and suddenly, you know, obviously don't close your eyes. But if you did, it would only be for 16 seconds.
Yeah.
And so you suddenly realize you can do this while you're stuck in traffic. You can do this while you're stuck on the ferry. You can do this in so many different places, waiting on a line to return something, or, you know, waiting on a line at a Starbucks and it's like 25 people on that line. You know, you can find that space. And if we can connect to that stillness and silence throughout the day, even for 16 seconds here or there, that halo of stillness.
Yes.
Will start to build up in our lives, and we'll experience a greater space between our thoughts, a greater space between our words, a greater space between our actions. There's this beautiful line by Lao Tzu: do you have the patience to wait until your mud settles and the water is clear? Do you have the patience to wait until the right action arises by itself? And we don't. We're all type A, high achievers, control freaks. We try to get stuff done and force ourselves on the universe. And so here's an opportunity for us just to take little breaks throughout the day in 16-second increments. And if you did it 4 times, it's a minute. If you did it 20 times, it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's physiologically healing you, as well as neurologically healing you, as well as emotionally calming you.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, and I know we've got just not right under a minute left, but, you know, of course, three feathers, our collar, I think it's beautiful, her experience, but not everyone is going to have those kind of experiences, and we're not doing it to have visions. The point, at least what I took from your work, David G., and I love it, it gave me permission to be human in my meditation practice, but it's that halo effect. It's what you take into your everyday life from it, not necessarily going for the specific experience in the meditation. So
the great meditator has no experience, isn't attached to it, and doesn't make anything out of it.
Exactly.
And then we realize it's not the 30 minutes that you're meditating, it's the other 23 hours of your day.
Yes. And on that note, we are coming to the end of our show. David G., this has been so much fun, and I appreciate you playing along with our Seahawks theme today as we go into a very important and fun game in Carolina. Against the Carolina Panthers this weekend. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We've been here today talking with David G. about his book, De-Stressifying. Join us next week as you guys get to hear my interview with Byron Katie in advance of her appearance in Seattle on January 30th. Thanks for joining in today with Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy, signing off.
So wake me up when